A lot of our coverage of the pandemic in the U.S. has been about the efforts to get people vaccinated, the progress cities and states are making in easing restrictions. But let's remind ourselves, more than 587,000 people in the U.S. have died from COVID-19. That number rises every day, and with it, the number of grieving loved ones and friends. The pandemic has been a harsh reminder of our mortality, and it's been an important time for members of an emerging profession whose job it is to help people and their families think about their final days. The Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck has this story about death doulas.
It was 2018. Chris Bruton was 47. And his dad was dying.
And he actually had stage 4 kidney cancer. He was basically given about 2 to 4 months to live.
When Bruton was a kid, his dad traveled a lot, so we didn't get to know him that well. But after Bruton's mom died, his dad moved in with him in Colorado. A year later, that diagnosis came. Someone Bruton knew suggested a death doula.
And of course, I'd never heard of it. It sounded a little bit hocus-pocusy to me.
And then he met Cindy Kaufman, a doula who runs HeartSpeak End of Life Companioning in Denver. Bruton introduced her to his dad.
And as I walked out, I heard sobbing from my father that I had never heard before. And it just this well of stress and fear, anxiety, sadness, it all just came out.
Kaufman simply asked Bruton's dad how he was doing, truly doing, and he was able to let his defenses down in a way that he couldn't with his family yet.
They're too close to it. I'm not, you know, I'm still an objective bystander in that way.
Kaufman came by 1 or 2 times a week and drove down for the end. Even though he'd never heard of a death doula before, Bruton is now a convert.
I had no idea how much work there was to do to help someone who's going through the dying process until I saw what Cindy did. And changed our lives, changed our lives, and changed my dad's life at the very end of it.
Death doulas are also called death midwives or end-of-life doulas, but whatever you call them, their numbers have blossomed in the last decade. There's a few in every state. Kaufman says they're needed.
End-of-life doulas fill what we believe is a gap.
That gap is the space between hospices, which provide necessary medical care, and what Kaufman does, help someone with the actual process of dying. She adds that since it started in the 70s and 80s, the hospice industry has become more of a business, with certain hours and staff caring for multiple clients. The majority of hospices are now for-profit institutions.
We don't carry those kind of caseloads. We work for ourselves. We don't fall under insurance. We're private pay.
She says death doulas can bring ritual back into dying, make it easier to say goodbye. They can help plan legacy projects, say late night prayers, figure out what to do with your body after you die. For some, they just sit with the dying person right up to the end. Oregon does require a license to earn money consulting with families about funerals or body disposition, but most states don't even do that. And there's no national licensing requirement or mandatory training for death doulas. Some want it to stay that way, so they can help people die in a way that their own background or culture has taught them. Still, several international training centers have cropped up in recent years, some in places like Australia and the UK, and one in New Jersey, the International End-of-Life Doula Association. Henry Fersko Weiss is a death doula who created that organization 6 years ago.
Anybody could call themselves a doula without knowing anything, without having any training.
He says the profession needs standardization in order for its clients to be reimbursed by Medicare or Medicaid. Plus, he says it needs to happen for this fledgling profession to evolve and gain trust. When anyone can do it without any standards, he says,
that can do a disservice to the development of this field.
Deb Rawlings teaches palliative care at Flinders University in Australia. She's one of the few people who've done research on death doulas.
It was amazing to find there were so many differences in what the death doulas say that they do and in what they offer.
She found that many death doulas are former hospice workers or nurses. Some volunteer, others charge, some help with a spiritual journey, others help with more physical tasks. But even though they're so different, they all told her,
we've got time. So I've got time to come in and sit with you. I might sit with the person who's dying and let their family go and have a break. I might help and do the washing.
So they've got time to be with those who are running out of it. For Here and Now, I'm Madeline Beck.